something you should think about, and very good. I'm going to be in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And kind of a simple message is two things we desperately need from James 1. Didn't remind you of Thursday night service at 7 p.m. Boy, we had a service this last Thursday. And really been learning some deep things as of late. And in Sunday night and Thursday night. So, and don't forget 6 o'clock tonight with Brother Mutchler. James 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we will talk about this passage. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Thank you for guiding us into what we should preach. And Lord, we definitely need this message, Lord, and it's so clear in your word, the things we need, but it's not the way we normally think, Lord. It's kind of not normal, typical, modern American thinking. And but Lord, we need our minds renewed, and I pray that you'd do that today. And I pray you'd speak. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. And I pray thy Spirit would please fill me and speak through me. Bless, give me every thought, every illustration, every truth, everything to say and not to say. Give us, please, your mighty moving of your Spirit, Lord. We need it. We need him, Lord, and I pray that he'd be speaking to us. Give us ears that hear. Give us hearts that receive the truth. We pray that thy word would be clear for us and powerful. And may you move, Lord. We need the Spirit of God. We don't want to just leave the same. We don't want to leave without hearing from heaven. You said we're two or more gathered in the midst. In your name, you're in the midst of them. And we pray that we'd know the presence of God today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple things here in this chapter. It's a practical chapter and a good chapter, and there's just a couple of simple things here that we need and that I want to focus off on in the first half of the chapter, and I think they also bleed into other areas and the way we think. The first thing it says we need and we should have is trials of our faith. Trials of our faith. Now, that's not something we think we want. Well, we generally think... We generally spend our lives trying to escape from trials. That's kind of what we do. And when we're in a trial, all we think about is, I can't wait till I get out of this. And we kind of think that we're in the doghouse because we have a trial with God. That's kind of all generally thinking we have. But God says we need trials. And trials are good for us. It's not the way we think. Matter of fact, look at verse 2. It's a strange verse. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Wait a minute. It doesn't say, endure your trials when they come and just make it through it. That's what I would think. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse means many. That's not normally the way I think. I think, hey, everything's going great right now. I count that all joy. I think, hey, things are going pretty good right now. I'm excited. I've done that many times. You know, everything's kind of going good right now. Thank you, Lord. This is great. Because I know life's not a smooth sail. I mean, there's something. There's always something. But sometimes it gets piled on you. You know, you can kind of handle one trial at a time, but it doesn't always, it comes in batches. We're like Job, remember Job the other week? As soon as the other one, he says, as he was yet speaking, another one said this. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, many different kinds of temptation. I like rest. I like ease. You ever live your life saying, boy, as soon as I get done with this, as soon as this gets fixed, as soon as I finally get this figured out, as soon as I'm done with this, I just haven't got there yet. Diverse, many temptations. I've been serving the Lord almost 30 years now, 29 or so, and there's times when you're doing everything right and you're serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord, and trials and temptations all come at once. It says, count it all joy. Well, maybe, you know what, that sounds so backward. I mean, I can understand, okay, endure it and learn from it, but count it all joy? Not even count it joy. Count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, that verse must have been translated wrong. Or maybe, you know, there's other verses that say something else so we can kind of mellow it out a little bit, because that's just a little loopy. But then I read, well, you know, those verses there, and they seem pretty clear. Romans chapter 5. Let me read you Romans 5. You're not going to believe this, but it says this in other spots. Romans chapter 5. And verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Glory in tribulation? That's what it says there. Now we got two verses that say it. Oh no. But then we read 2 Corinthians. And chapter 12, Paul talking about his thorn in the flesh. In verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He takes pleasure in them. We're losing this battle, hoping this is not really what it says. 1 Peter chapter 1, just a little past James there. 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. All right, good. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Greatly rejoice, because we're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, there it is again, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor of the glory that appeared in Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith is more precious than gold. I like gold better. The trial of your faith, greatly rejoice. I take pleasure. And it says it's like purifying gold. Now understand, it says that we need trials because it's good for us. It says, knowing this, verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. So when your faith is tried, the same thing it says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, 6, 7, it says it's like gold and the purifying of gold. It brings patience. It purifies you. He says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. It makes you better. Gold, we've told you before, gold is purified traditionally through a very simple process. You take a bunch of gold, you put it in a big pot, and you heat the pot up and get it hot. And gold is so heavy. It's that heavy, 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 heavy compound. Then what it does is when it all turns to liquid, the gold sinks to the bottom, and all the things that aren't gold rise to the top. Rocks, clumps, dirt, anything in there. because the gold's so much heavier. And then they take a little scooper and scoop all the impurities out, flick them out, and keep on boiling the gold because the impurities all come to the top and get removed as it gets hot, as it gets tried by fire. And pretty soon you have purified gold, 24 karat gold, 99.99% pure gold. Why? Because it was heated up, and in the heat, all the impurities come to the top, and the person who's purifying it scoops them out. And that's what happens to you. The heat comes on, the trial comes on, and all of the little things that were holding you back and all the little things that mattered so much all of a sudden come to the top. And all the things that don't matter and all the impurities and sin in your life, and all of a sudden the master scooper says, there it is, now it's on top, it's not that important to you now, let's scoop it out of here. You're being purified by your trials. Most Christians don't do well spiritually when everything's going great. Growth, you won't find a lot of growth on top of mountains. You find growth in the valleys. And you'll find out that when you go and you go through trials, it's when your life starts coming into perspective. You'll be surprised if you don't go through trials, if you're not in trials right now, you'll be surprised how many things in your life are not important that have your mind and heart. You ever heard somebody say, before this, I thought so many things are important. Now, and whatever they're going to say, now, as long as me and the kids are healthy, I'm happy. Or after going through this, you know what? I'm never going to take for granted my health again. Or after going through, trials bring perspective in life. Trials remove the things that don't matter. The best thing for people to go through many times to make them have good finances the rest of their life is in real financial trials. You know how many people are excellent with money that I respect the way they handle money who are flat broke in their early 20s or their late teens? And fortunately, let me get myself in trouble with this. Fortunately, they didn't have a bunch of people to bail them out when they made financial mistakes. What's Johnny going to do? He's going to lose his car. Yep. What's he going to do? He's going to not go buy a new PlayStation next time when he has a car payment. And he's not going to call off work four times that week next time. Am I mean? I'm telling you, I always laugh at this. Here's somebody's life's together. Their family's together. They're in retirement or they're near retirement. They got money they're set aside. They're doing the finances, and they're gonna go and bail Johnny out. And I asked them, "Who bailed you out?" "Oh no, you wouldn't believe it. I lived on nothing for this long, and I lost this and this, and I had to go work this thing. I had to go do this for this much an hour for this long, and I had to struggle and save, and I had to walk to work 5 miles and all this stuff." Okay, do you make any association? Now Johnny's 30 and you're still bailing him out because you did it when he was 20. Let Johnny learn. Let them have trials. And we've got to learn that hard times toughen you up. Hard times bring life into perspective. Hard times teach lessons. This is not going to be a popular point, is it? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Trials make you patient. The word patience, such a neat word. I love the word patience in the Greek. The word literally means a literal translation of the word patience in the Greek. We think of it just being able to wait a long time. It's much different than that. In the Greek, the literal definition is cheerful endurance. That's the word means, cheerful endurance. And so when we go through trials, listen, some people call it, I just got numb after a while. You ever get numb? You get so many things out there while you get so many trials, it's like, oh, go ahead, pour it on. Can't get any worse. That's the cynical point of patience. And that's not all bad, by the way. You can handle it that way. I laugh at everything. I got a weird sense of humor. Everything's funny to me. And my sense of humor, my wife tells me, your sense of humor saves you, honey. He says, nobody can ever bother you because you always start laughing at him. I laugh at everything. I mean, I cut my arm off. Oh, I lost my arm. Boy, I guess I'm all right now is my left arm. I laugh at everything. It's just kind of my personality. And you learn through some hard times how to have patience and cheerfully endure and say, ouch. You know what? I'll be fine. I'll never forget when I was in college, I started going through trial after trial after trial. I mean, it was so hard. And the worst trial, by the way, the worst trial of all was how tired I was all the time. I was way too tired. I was bad tired. You should never do tired. Full-time job, full-time college, full-time ministry. Too busy. And 3.5 hours of sleep a night for years and years. Just exhausted. And it just seemed like everything, I mean, I had a Murphy demon possessing me. Anything that could go wrong went wrong. And I remember one time I had a friend with me and we were going to go do the big day. One of the biggest days we ever had while I was there. It was a big day the entire year. I was in a bus route on the south side of Chicago. I'll never forget. I know exactly where I was. But the day we're going to go and we had a bus route in the area that I went to, Pilsen. But we're also going to run a second bus earlier in the day to have a big day. So we'd have two different bus routes. We'd run it twice and we would go to this other area in the projects right next to Comiskey Park. 35th and Wentworth, right there, projects, right at Comiskey Park. Comiskey Park is not in a good neighborhood. And so we're going to go there. And I never forget, I got sick the day before. It was the biggest day of the year. And I mean, I got sick where my fever was so high, I got delirious. I was literally delirious and didn't know where I was. My wife was taking care of me. And then that was Friday. Saturday, I went out to visit and I decided to give it a shot. My temperature was 103.8 with Tylenol. And my temperature is a degree low, by the way. I'm a 97.6 all the time. So I was sick as a dog. And I drove up there because the workers, I was the only bus driver. I drove all the workers up there. I parked the bus and tried to go and I just collapsed. Oh, so sick. And I'm telling you this, I've been witnessing for 28 years. I have never not gone. But this time, I literally just collapsed. I was so sick. I was fever ridden. I'd just driven the bus through Chicago traffic and I couldn't even get up. And I lay there, I said, Lord, I can't get up. I can't go. There's no way I can go. And I woke up later. Everybody got back in the bus. I just collapsed and everybody got back in the bus. I thought, why on this big day? Next morning, I get up. I got to go get the workers' bus and I got a driver with me we got to go to the place together. We go to the bus center. It's a rental bus center. We get the bus center. It's freezing cold. I do not understand how the inside of a bus can be colder than it is outside, but it is. And so I get this bus early in the morning and we get there and we're talking 5:30 in the morning, but I feel better. I'm functional now. It's early. I get my bus. The guy with me runs into problems with this bus. And I've got to go back and get all the workers, and it's a tight schedule. And he all of a sudden gets stuck, and there's problems with his bus. They give him another bus, and all of a sudden, it doesn't have a fire extinguisher, and you got to have that. And so he's got to wait for him. And I'm sitting out there. You ever in a hurry and waiting for somebody? If you're male, that happens all the time. But you ever get in a hurry, and you're just sitting there, and you know the clock is like tick. That's 1 second. It helps to look at your watch all the time. And oh, I'm sitting there going, come on. Half hour later, we are so far behind. I'm sick still. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. We are so late now. And he comes out. He's just, oh, I can't believe it's so stupid. Why do they get two bad buses in a row? We're going to be so late. And so he starts following me. We start driving. And I'm driving, and I'm in Illinois somewhere, and I'm driving. And all of a sudden, I come, and I'm driving the bus. And all of a sudden, here comes the arm for the train stop. Now, you understand, we don't have trains out here. The trains in Chicago are so long that the caboose and the engine meet. You'll get that later. And they are so long. And they, right on the one road I'm going through, and I'm driving along, and all of a sudden, there comes the arms down. And by the way, buses have to stop at every road, cross, and open the door. And train comes down. Okay, we'll wait. But the train's going to take 5 minutes, five more minutes. Oh, brother. Well, I've been through so much suffering by that time. I was just used to everything going wrong, so I'm just kind of sitting there. Then all of a sudden, you hear this dreaded noise you don't hear very often, but you hear out there. It's this Clunk, 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 clunk. That's the brakes coming on of the train. And all of a sudden, the train starts slowing. And there's no other good way to get around this train. Throw it in park. Turn it off. The guy behind me, train stops, just stops dead and just sits there. Guy runs up from the bus behind me. He runs up, open my door. He just frantic. I can't believe this. This is, what are we going to do? Everything's incredible. I just start laughing. I said, man, this is the way it goes. I said, what are we going to do? Jump the train? And that was 20 years ago. Boy, I'm old. Do you know that guy to this day has said how much it impacted him? That in the, he knew that I was a guy in charge of getting all the workers and all the time, and that I was not angry and frustrated and screaming and yelling. Just that I could just sit there and say and laugh about it. But you know why I was able to do that? If that would have happened 2 years before, I would have been hijacking a train. I would have done something because I didn't have patience yet. And by the way, trains stopped there about 15 minutes. The best is when they start backing up then. That's my favorite. Have you ever experienced these trains? You ever been to that? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Good. Love those trains. I used to like trains when I was a kid. Now I all I do with them is blow them up. And so, listen, the suffering that I'd been through over and over. You ever forget who you're talking to and get riled about something that's not important? And maybe they're a cancer survivor or something, and they're like, you know, it's not that big a deal. And you're like, yeah, you're right. Why? Because the trial of your faith, the diverse temptations, the troubles and trials and troubles and trials make it so you can say, yeah, I'll be right. God's still on his throne. We can handle this. Are you saying, what am I going to do? This is crazy. Sometimes you don't even know what to do. Sometimes you don't have the answer yet. And you just say, yeah, God will take care of it. Because you've learned patience, cheerful enduring by the trial of your faith. So count it all joy. You say, you know what? This is awesome. I am going to get so much patience. Give it to me quick. And you will get so much patience. And you say, you know what? God is, why? Because his patience is going to do another thing. It's going to be even greater. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience, that takes patience, have her perfect work. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what that verse just said? If you'll let patience complete what she's doing in you, you will be complete and not short of anything in your spiritual life. You count it all joy, various trials and temptations. A trial of your faith brings patience, which is cheerful endurance. Patience, when allowed to finish its work, completes you. When it says you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that means it finishes you. It means it fine-tunes you, it polishes you off. Your life lacks nothing. Now, how many of you would say, you know what? I am not complete and have it all together. I am not lacking nothing. I'm not there yet. How many of you say, you know what? I still have something I need. I'm not complete yet. How many of you would say that? Raise your hand. Hey, if you didn't raise your hand, it's humility. Perfect and entire. I would love to say, folks, I'd tell you, just let you know, I am not lacking anything in my spiritual life anymore. I'd love to be able to get to that point. I'm just not there yet. So what do I need? What do you need? You need more patience because patience makes you complete. Patience comes from trials. So you say, guess what? My engine blew today. Yes! Everyone else says, get the straitjacket. But you say, you know what? And you know what happens? It hits you and you go, oh, I can't believe this. Then you say, you know what? God allowed this. I must be getting some patience. And I'm going to let patience finish your work. Because there's some things, because I can't, my problem over here is I have a problem with my tongue. Or a problem over here is I have a problem with lust. Or a problem over here is my pride. Or a problem over here is my addiction. And you know what? It seems like what I'm going to have to go through is some suffering and some get some patience. And patience will make me get rid of those things. That's what happened to me, by the way. When I really prayed to God, I cannot conquer this stuff. I'm too weak. I cannot do it. I'm not strong enough. And I was just baby Christian, just struggling with these things. I said, God, whatever you have to do to get me right, I want to serve you. I'm just not strong enough. You know what happened? Trials like crazy. Lost all my friends as a teenager. That's a trial. And then a bunch of other things. People misunderstood me. I had people get mad at me. I just trial to trial. I mean, and by the way, I would love to trade for those problems again. But at the time, oh man, I thought it was the end of the world. But you know what? All of a sudden, those things I couldn't quit. And there's about three things I had left I couldn't get rid of. I couldn't change. All of a sudden, those things just kind of float at the top and just kind of, you know what? Conquer those things. And they became insignificant. Why? Because patience did her perfect work. But you got to let that happen. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You have to allow it. You have to allow it to happen. This is the hard part, is saying, you know what? I'm not going to escape. I understand. You're going through trial. If there's a way to get out of it, that's fine. You're having health issues, and there's a way you can get your health issues resolved. Fine. I understand that. You're not looking for trials. God will send you the ones you need, and he'll filter out the ones you can't handle, all that stuff. But you've got to, in that problem, in that trial, let patience let you suffer, and you keep on going and not panic. One of the most amazing things I ever saw was one of the best Christians I've ever known had a terrible wife. I mean, she had mental problems. I mean, she was loony and she was nasty to him. And it was like this for many years, and he continued to be one of the best Christians I ever knew. And finally, he cracked. And he divorced her. And he's not serving the Lord anymore. And his brother is a very good Christian also. And his brother said, you know, you needed her. Well, you're saying, well, I got a maid then. No, don't say that. And listen, I hate to say that, but some people need financial troubles. Every time their finances are good, they forget God. Other people need health issues because it keeps them praying and keeps them close to God, keeps them thinking about heaven. I try to be a good Christian when things are going good so God doesn't say he needs anything. I tried it. I don't do so good at it. But you know what? Those trials, the Bible says we need them. The trial of your faith worketh patience. It finishes you. Patience will eventually do that. So you need trials. So don't get mad at God when you get trials. Don't get bitter. Don't blame the person that's bothering you so much. They might be sent by God, even though they're not Christian. God's in that. Nebuchadnezzar was that to Babylon, to Israel. Sometimes God sends someone there to drive you crazy because it's going to keep you, because that's what you need to learn is how to love your enemies. And so don't get, if you're in God's hand, realize God didn't say, oops. Where'd that come from? I didn't see that coming. God never says that. God's perfecting you. He's trying to give you patience and trying to make you complete. So he's giving you some trials. And some of you have some trials. And I don't want to make a light of trials. Some of you have some bad things. Some of you have some things I hurt for you. I look at it and say, oh man, I don't know if I can endure that. But Let patience have its perfect work. It'll make you an amazing Christian. And in heaven, you'll get there. And the reward you will have earned and the things you'll have done for God, and you'll see amazing things in heaven because of that trial. Paul said, hey, if this thorn in the flesh is going to make me, God's strength, perfect in me, I love this trial. I love this thorn in the flesh. You need some trials. People will become soft and weak and not good Christian. And when everything's going great. And they many times don't say serving the Lord. And they do not continue to do great things for God. I would rather have hard times and become a great Christian than have great times and become a mediocre Christian. What do we need in James chapter 1? First of all, we need trials of our faith, testing us to see what we're made of, and trials that come into our lives. And that happens even if you're serving the Lord, because God wants to make you great. Number two, what do we need? This one's cheerier, okay? You can relax. Number two, we need to ask for wisdom. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need to ask for wisdom. A few steps here. First of all, you must realize you lack it. If any among you lack wisdom, you got to realize you don't know everything. You know what's scary? You know, I think I know less than I did when I was 18. I used to know everything. I was so ready to pastor when I graduated from Bible college. And now, all day long, Lord, what do I do about this? How do I deal with this? Lord, you called the wrong guy. I don't know what I'm doing. I could have written the best book in the world on child rearing before I had kids. I had it down. Now, 7 kids later, I'm reading the books. I mean, I need so much wisdom. I will, in April, I'll have 5 teenagers at once. Try that for a trial. You know, there are so many things I need wisdom in. All the time. I find out. No, I don't walk around bumbling through life and don't know what I'm doing. I don't. I mean, my life is good and fine and get along fine. But you know what? I am constantly saying, Lord, I need wisdom on this. 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 Why? You have to realize you lack it. And usually you get to realize you lack it when you start trying to do something. When you start having experience. Everybody's an expert until it comes to reality. I just now laugh at kids who are gonna never, you know, I love it. Kids 17, I'll never get fat and out of shape, okay? You know. Okay. I mean, everybody's an expert, and then all of a sudden, and then there's the arrogant people who don't know they're dumb and doing bad things in life and failing in everything. And they don't need any wisdom because they're experts, and they just happen to, you know, have really bad luck. But they knew exactly what they're doing. And there's those people. They don't lack wisdom. They don't need to pray because they don't think. But those of us who are trying to accomplish great things in life and trying to do wise things, we realize, you know what? I don't know everything I thought I knew. And you know what? I had it all figured out, then they changed the questions. And I need some wisdom here in life. And if any among you lack wisdom, the first step to get the wisdom is to realize you need it, you lack it. Number two, you ask. If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You ask for it, that's simple. Next, God will pour it out on you. He says, if any among you, verse 5, James 1, 5, if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. First of all, he says, I will give it to you, and I'm not going to upbraid you. God does not rebuke you. He doesn't let you have it. He doesn't tell you off. He says he is glad to give you wisdom. As a matter of fact, he says he gives to all men liberally. He says, you want wisdom? I will pour it out on you. I want you to have wisdom. If it's like you going up saying, you know what? Can you give me a couple bucks for lunch? They say, man, I'll give you 20. I'm going to give you money liberally. God says, I will give you wisdom liberally. I am glad to give it to you. And it says, it shall be given him. That's God's promise. If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. That's God's promise. Why do we need wisdom? Wisdom is a lot of things. We need to be wise people. And a wise person not only has wisdom, but lives what he knows to do. There's people who are called fools who have wisdom but don't live it, don't do what they know to do. That's called a fool. A simple in the Bible is a person who doesn't know. The wise is a person who knows what's wise and does it also. And that's the only difference. There's no difference in knowledge between a fool and a wise person. The only difference is one does what's wise and one doesn't. And Proverbs teaches that all over. Wisdom is knowing what the best thing to do is. Wisdom is knowing the right direction to take and having the knowledge that this is an important decision and you're going to do the right thing. That wisdom is vital. And it says, if any among you lack wisdom, why do we need it? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It is the most important thing. And with all that getting, get understanding. Well, why is wisdom so important? Isn't salvation more important? Salvation is wisdom. The Bible says you get the wisdom to trust Christ and not trust your good works. You don't have the. I didn't have the wisdom to get saved when I wasn't before I was a Christian because I did not know Jesus was the only way to heaven. Salvation is a matter of wisdom, and you're wise enough to trust Christ. And so, salvation is a matter of wisdom. We need wisdom in all of our decisions. It's all over the Bible. It brings great blessings. Let me take you to Proverbs and read you some verses here. You still with me? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Wisdom is going to bring great, great, great blessings. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I want to be happy. And the man that getteth understanding. This is Proverbs 3, 13 and through verse 18. For her merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is, I like that, all of her paths, wisdom's paths, are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom brings happiness, peace, victory. It brings, wisdom is so vital. We need wisdom so bad. We do not need the world's wisdom. I want you to understand, God's wisdom is different from what this world tells you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you don't need to turn to this, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? I want to say God's ways are not the world's ways. And the world's ways and the world's wisdom is not God's wisdom. You need God's wisdom. You have many decisions and 1,000 different decisions in life. And if you will begin to seek that wisdom of God, you can know what to do. We need wisdom to raise a godly family. Wisdom of how to handle our finances. What to do with our health. Yeah, can I say, just take, you know, many people go to the doctor and the doctor says, blah, 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 and they say, okay. I have found that not very wise. I found second opinions. It's called a practice for a reason. I found some doctors are very closed-minded and got one little thing. And I find the medical field many times has drastic procedures for things that you might be able to do a little more physical therapy or nutrition or something. You need wisdom to do with your health. There's not just the one way that everybody does it. God might give you special wisdom. You need wisdom on how to handle these things and what to do with your health. Wisdom in where to live. Wisdom in who to marry. Wisdom of where to go to church. I'll give you that if you want to know. Wisdom of where to work. Wisdom of should you buy it or not buy it. Wisdom for how to say what you need to say. Boy, I pray that a lot. I am not good at saying things. And I'm always saying, Lord, help me know how to say this. I say this to that person. Help me know how to come across. I don't want to come across wrong. I don't want to say something foolish. We need wisdom to know if we should say something. Wisdom of how to influence our family. Wisdom of, and by the way, I've been frustrated. What do I do about my family? I don't know how to get to them. Pray about it. Ask God for wisdom. He might give you something you never thought of. I need wisdom of how to deal with a troublesome person. Wisdom of who to trust. How to conquer your sin. Which way to drive to work. You know what we'll do? We will sit there and think of the same circle. And here's a problem. Oh, I can do this. That's not going to work. This isn't 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 going to work. Man, that's the problem. This isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And you know what we'll do? We'll think of the same circle over and over and over and over. And then we'll never get to the solution because we don't pray for wisdom. We need special wisdom. There is no solution right now. Sometimes there's no solution. What do? You ask God for wisdom. Lord, and you know what? All of a sudden, many times you'll find yourself getting out of your loop. Oh, why didn't I think of that? There are so many things you would think are nothing to do with the spiritual realm where you need wisdom. He says, if any among you lack wisdom, let him ask God, he'll give it to you. Listen, I remember in 2008, I had a bunch of financial decisions. Economy was roaring beginning of 2008. And I started praying. I had to get two new vehicles. I had to get a new car, a new Suburban. And I had to make a bunch of financial decisions on this and this and this and this and this and this. And this. I had all these decisions. And I prayed about every single one of them. And weird things happened. I remember telling a guy I knew, and I said, you know what's really weird? God is telling me in every financial decision to get everything I can for the absolute minimum. And I said, I have no idea why. My Suburban I bought was totaled previously, rebuilt title. It was cheap. I bought my car, and I got my car for $1,200. By the way, I still have that car. And I was going to buy some clothes, and I said, no, I'm not. I need clothes, but I'm not going to buy them, and I need to buy this, I need to buy this. And everywhere I went, God said, and I was just buying the minimum and the cheapest of everything I had, and the only things I had to have, and I had no idea why. All of a sudden, the economy collapsed. Boy, if I would have had some payments, if I would have had a bunch of things, I would have been in real trouble. And God didn't reveal to me the economy is going to collapse right then. I just prayed about it, and God, in the same thing, just he gave me the wisdom I needed. I've had people, I said, I cannot figure what to do with this person out. Lord, you've got to give me some wisdom. And all of a sudden, the dumbest idea that should not work came to my mind. I said, are you sure, Lord? And sure enough, it worked. Why? And not always. Sometimes it's very logical. Sometimes, should have thought of that. But you know, I have seen so many good things God do when I just pray about it. And how many times have I done dumb things or not found a solution because I just didn't pray about it and kept thinking in circles and finally said, I got to do something. Threw the dart and messed things up. You need wisdom. Next, when you pray about it, we're going to finish up here in just a couple minutes. Verse 6, it says, I'm back, I'm not in James anymore. Let me take James chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, but let him ask in faith. Next, when you ask, do not doubt. We said, realize you lack it, ask for it. God will pour it out, but do not doubt when you ask. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Okay, ready? Verse 5 says, it shall be given him. So here's the process. God says, you need wisdom. I say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom what to do, how to do this ministry. Lord, give me wisdom. And all of a sudden, I'm going to say, I believe God is going to give me the wisdom because he promised he would. And God doesn't lie. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I'm not going to say, maybe he didn't, maybe I didn't understand. Maybe no, that's what he says not to do. Then I go forth and say, God gave me, and sometimes it comes a timing thing where I have to make a decision by a certain time, and I don't feel any super divine leading, anything else, I'll say, you know what, I believe God gave me the wisdom I need, I'm going to do this. So I got to make a choice here. And that choice is always the right one. Because God said he would give me the wisdom. If he says, you ask in faith, nothing wavering, you better believe that he gave you what he said he would give you, because he said he would, or you won't get any wisdom. Look what he says there. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Nothing, because you waver. And then he adds on to it, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, there are people who do not believe God, And they do, they're not going to believe God is going to give them the wisdom he said he'd give them because they by nature are double-minded. They're second guessers. They're doubters. Do you know sometimes God gave you wisdom and you needed for it not to go well? We talked about it a little earlier in the sermon if you were awake. And we realized, you know what? Maybe God didn't get, maybe it didn't understand, maybe because I did this decision didn't seem to turn out good. No. You're double-minded. My car, I bought this car and it broke down. Yeah, but you got to witness the mechanic, right? God's more worried about that mechanic being saved than you, than about your car lasting for 100,000 miles. So in other words, you say, you know what? I believe God. I prayed about it. I made the best decisions I could think of. It seemed like this was the best decision. I'm not going to doubt God gave me the wisdom. I'm going to take whatever that path leads me. A double-minded man will be unstable in all his ways. Keep going back and revisiting, back and revisiting, back and people do this. It's not of God. Should I marry them? You're married. Yep. I guarantee you, you're married to the will of God right now. Because you're married to him. And that's you're the will of God is to stay married. And I want to say this. Do not be double-minded. Should I have? Shouldn't have? Boy, people just kill themselves with that. I might have should have married them, and now I'm not married, and now I'm single, and maybe I'll never get married. Stop. Stop. Just deal with where you are. Trust God. Don't be double-minded. Don't be... You're so busy looking backward, you're walking off cliffs. I shouldn't have took this... Look, I shouldn't have took this trail. Stop. You're where you are. Ask for wisdom and go forward. Say, what do I do from here, Lord? You're where you are. Quit being double-minded. Believe God's going to give you the wisdom if you ask. He can deal with whatever mess you give him. You start asking for wisdom now and say, Lord, give me the wisdom I need. And God promises to give you the wisdom. If you doubt him and you say, I don't think I got anything, you're double-minded. Just say, Lord, you said you're going to do it. I accept that by faith. Give me the wisdom. I'm going to make a choice here. If I could tell you some of the menial things that God gave me wisdom in, it'd shock you. I remember one day getting ready to drive to church, and I always went one way, and I said, Lord, which way do I want to go? And he said, go this way. I drove the other way, went to get gas, to a different gas station because I went a different way, get out of my vehicle, flat broke. Oh, you're talking about flat broke. And there is a $10 bill right there on the ground, and the gas station's closed, and nobody's around. I was honest about it. I said, anybody? Is this anybody's? Pray. There's little things like that. I push myself a lot, and I stay busy, and I need good health, and nutrition helps me a lot. But, you know, bad vitamins don't do any good, and I found some very good vitamins that were very expensive, and I was doing great with them. Couldn't afford them anymore. I said, Lord, what do? I need these things. I am running. I got great energy. I'm feeling great. I'm staying healthy. I don't got time to be sick, and I was doing great. And, boy, I couldn't afford them anymore. And guess what? I prayed about it. You know the strangest thing? I found just as good vitamins, a different brand, and I can't believe it. They're cheap ones. Cheap vitamins never work. You're blowing your money. I found these, and boy, they are helping me, and I'm feeling great. And I'm saving a whole bunch of money. I didn't have the money to spend on it. You say, is God interested in that? Yeah, God wants me to pay my bills. And God wants to say me to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom. Man, maybe you should pray. I don't even think about praying and stuff like that. Yeah, if you lack wisdom in anything, which shoes should you buy? Pray about it. What church should I go to? Open Door. But you know what? Pray about things. Ask God for wisdom. He will give you wisdom. And usually just kind of the fog just kind of lifts after a while and you say, oh, this is what I should do. Sometimes nothing happens for a while. Sometimes you got to make a decision. You don't really know. And what I do at that point, I say, Lord, I got to make a decision here. I'm going to pick one of these. And unless you give me something in a minute here, I got to do this. Okay, we're doing this. And that's always been the right one. Because God gave wisdom. He uses our minds sometimes. Yeah, try it. And do it. And so... First of all, we need to trial. Secondly, We need to ask for wisdom. Those are two things you really desperately need. And if you'll do those things, God's going to give you things that you really need. It'll help you. This is, let me give you a statement that I've made, a statement of mine. I've never even said this publicly before. This is a statement I have now. I've learned to do. That thou doest, after asking, do boldly. That thou doest, after asking, do boldly. When now I pray about something and it's time to go, even if I, and sometimes, do you know I found out, you find this now? There's no perfect plan. There's no perfect plan. You got a good plan, but there's still problems with it. You know what? Pray for wisdom and then say, all right, I'm picking a path. Here we go. I'm going on it. I'm going believing this is God's plan for me. It's going to have problems. I'm not going to get double-minded in it. I think it's very important to learn to do in life. You need trials and you need to ask for wisdom. Let's go ahead and pray and let's ask God if we should have these things. Father, I pray you give us wisdom. Thank you for this, basically just reading right through a passage. 8 verses in James 1, Lord, is what you gave us today. Lord, I pray that we would really ask for these things and really accept the trials. I pray that we would let patience have our perfect work. We'd be completed. I pray we'd also be prayers asking for wisdom. Now, Lord, this message is not complicated, but it's absolutely vital in life. I pray today that we would become this, Lord. I pray to be people who accept our trials and grow in our trials. I pray to also be people who ask for wisdom all the time. Now, Lord, these are practical steps, but, Lord, it seems like the devil gets us to not learn from our trials and gets us to not count it all joy. He certainly does a good job at that, and we let him. And Lord, we'll go a whole day without praying about anything, Lord. So help us to get back to these vital, important things in our lives and to accept them and to do them. Lord, they're two different things. Please help us to live them. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around.